So today, as we wrap up our campaign, Becoming New, it's my privilege to share the Word of God. For those who don't know me, I'm one of the elders here at Harvest City. Also, I work on staff, on the pastoral team. My role is missions pastor. So today, I would like to kind of start by reading two portions from scriptures, and then I will share with you five thoughts. And before we do that, let's just pray for a moment and let's just tune our hearts to what Holy Spirit wants to do in us today. Holy Spirit, here we are. We come with open hearts. We're eager to hear your voice. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us through your scriptures. Speak to the depths of our hearts, Lord. This is your word that transforms us. This is your moving inside of us that changes us. We want to be filled with more of you, Holy Spirit. Lead us. Speak to us. Let the light of your word shine brightly in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. I will read from Colossians 3 and then from Galatians 5. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor with at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do all these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie one to another, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and with all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with a tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And over all these virtues, put on love, which is the bond of perfect unity. And now from Galatians. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are guided, directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Oh, Paul knew something about this life. Wild parties and other sins like this. So list goes on. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. My first thought is this, that this process of becoming new is a mysterious process. I want to come close and tell you right now that I have more questions than answers. So today I'm not here to tell you, okay, those are the five things you do and your character will grow and you will become new. I'm here to explore some of the questions I actually have in my heart and my mind. Here on screen, you will see a cover from the book that the 21-year-old version of myself wrote 23 years ago. Look at that young guy there smiling with a tie. See, back then, I thought I had all the answers, but then I lived a little. You know, it's a poorly translated by Google translation here. You know, the book called Mature Character. It gives you all the do and don'ts and how to and how not to, you know. And, you know, let's put it this way, that I wouldn't write this book now, 23 years later. You know, the fact is straightforward, that the change is a hallmark of a person who follows Jesus. But the process, this process of change, is not as linear, not as straightforward, not as simple as I once thought. So young people, if you're planning to write a book about how to, maybe wait a few years. See, on one hand, we have been raised to a new life. We have been given a new nature. We were born again. But at the same time, Paul is saying here in verse 5, Colossians 3, that there are still sinful earthly things lurking within us. A little bit of pride, a little bit of greed, you know, some lust, some anger, some jealousy sometimes lurking there, some dishonesty. On one hand, Paul is telling us that it is the Holy Spirit that produces this character in us, this fruit of a spirit that transforms us. But on another hand, he gives us quite a list of action items. In Colossians 3, look at these verses. Those are all verbs. There is something we need to put to death. There is something we need to get rid of. There is something, he said, that we need to put on the new nature. He said that you must close yourself with something. I have questions. And even though some things are a bit mysterious, one thing is clear, that God is on a mission. And his mission is clearly stated in Romans 8:29. Then you and I were predestined to become conformed into the image of Christ. God has started this process in us, and he will not stop. He relentlessly leading us in this process. This process will not end. Even though we wrap up our campaign today, this process of becoming new will continue to till our last breath. And when we see Jesus face to face, that's when it will be completed. But as we live here, God continue leading us. It's a part of his redemption plan. He is redeeming our lives to his original design for us. You know, everybody talks about caterpillar transforming into a butterfly, but I just couldn't get away from showing this picture here. You know, this caterpillar on the left, it probably looks at itself and, you know, and it says, I look as a caterpillar. I crawl as a caterpillar. I smell as a caterpillar. I talk, I talk as a caterpillar. This is all that I am. This is who I am. I meant to crawl all of my life. This is it. But God looks at this creature and says, no, this is not it. I predestined for you to become that beautiful, wonderful butterfly. You predestined to fly. In the process, this caterpillar goes inside of that, how you call it? Chrysalis, thank you. I knew somebody would be smart enough to say. Goes inside of this chrysalis and something truly miraculous happening. Nobody actually knows what exactly happening there. But in the middle of this process, it's changing. This thing changing from something it used to be into something it is destined to become. You are changing. I am changing. If you watch John Orberg's video, he starts and finishes all his video with the same phrase, change is coming today. We are changing. We are slowly changing. God is working on us. As much as this process is mysterious, this process of becoming new is miraculous. I found dozens of quotes of people, non-Christians, people who work in area of counseling, psychiatry, psychology, like behavior change, all of that. And this is what people say. When you don't take God into equations, this is what they say. People don't change. They just become more of who they really are. People don't change. If anything, you get more set in your ways as you get older, not less. People don't change. They just have momentary steps outside of their true character, isolated actions contrary to their true nature. So yeah, you may do a few good things here and there, but you never change inside. Who you are, you will stay like that till your final breath. People don't change. They just get better at hiding who they really are. See, those observations, they are based on reality, and they are not completely wrong. They are not completely wrong. See, when we talk about change, we are not talking about simply changing behavior, when person just, you know, stop behaving certain way and start behaving different way. We are talking about complete renovation of our hearts. How do you know that our hearts are being renovated? All the things that Apostle Paul gave us list not to do or do. Suddenly, we find ourselves truly wanting that. We don't feel like we just have to do that. Or, oh, I really want to do this bad thing, but I can't. And we just kind of smack ourselves with a hammer on the fingers so we wouldn't do those bad things. Renovation of the heart causes our will to change, our inclinations to change, our cravings to change, to the point where I want to be like Jesus. I disgust by sin. I don't want to be near those things that not pleasing God. Inside of me, even though it's still a struggle, even though my flesh is still weak, I feel that my heart is wanting purity, it's wanting holiness. This is a renovation of the heart. And that type of change, it's truly, truly miraculous. You know, in Ukraine, I was saved in the middle of the 90s when I was 16 years old. Back then, Ukraine just came out of communism. For 70 years, it was under a Soviet Union kind of occupation. Christianity was pretty much done. It was deeply underground. So when a revival came in the 90s and mostly people who were coming to the Lord, they were first-generation Christians. I, growing up, first couple years as a Christian, I never met a person who grew up in a Christian home, a person who just embraced their faith from being parented and just kind of, grew up as a Christian. So what was happening, that people who were coming to the Lord mostly were women, and young people, teenagers, somehow young people were responding to the gospel. And oftentimes they were encountering fierce resistance because of the communism, and also Ukraine is somewhat orthodox. So becoming a Christian, going to church like that, we were called all kind of words. And even families were split. I remember part of our family was like, they cut ties with us. We only like a couple years ago, actually, there was a some of my relatives that we slowly regain relationships, because they would call us, you know, go to sect and all kind of bad names. You're brainwashed, whatever, right? So, but there is a one thing that was happening again and again and again. One thing that was undeniable: seeing significant change in those people's life. That would disarm the critics. And slowly, people who were criticizing and attacking, seeing the change that taking place in those Christians, the true, lasting change, that would melt their heart and that would testify about the reality of the power of God. My mother, she came to the Lord first. She came out of terrible, terrible life. Kind of lifestyle. She tried to commit suicide. She was spiraling down in alcohol, and she was hanging out with all the wrong people. After my father died 10 years prior to that, her life was just on one spiral down. She was in really miserable state. This is where Jesus found her. I was only 15 years old. And I remember when she started to go to church, and she would tell me about God and invited me to go to church. I was like, "Mom, you do whatever you want. I'm not interested." I was a young guy. I was quite popular among my peers. I liked those wild parties when Apostle Paul saying you shouldn't have those. I was living my life. And I said, "Mom, maybe when I grow older, I'm not interested in this religious mumbo-jumbo." But then, over time, I saw something that I could not resist. My mom started to change. And it's not like she just stopped drinking and stopped smoking. She became kind. Her words were changing. Her tone, the way she spoke to me. I felt love. I saw joy. I saw peace. Something that I didn't see in my mom for years. That woman who was so messed up, so destroyed, so in such a miserable state. Suddenly, there is something was coming out of her. I was intrigued. That what attracted me to the Lord. That change was a testimony that God is real. If woman like that can change, there must be something real about that. So this change is a miraculous, it's a truly miraculous process. As much as it's mysterious and miraculous, the process of becoming new, it's an ongoing process. Whatever Apostle Paul was saying, that we need to strip something away, put something off, or close ourselves with something, it's not one-time thing. I don't know if you noticed it, but I notice it all the time. You strip off some old stuff, you throw it away, then you wake up the next morning, hello, it's back. So those things, stripping off, putting on, it's a daily practice. It's never stopping. You know, there are two things you shouldn't expect in this process of becoming new. You shouldn't expect it to be quick, and you shouldn't expect it to be easy. See, God simply won't fix everything that's wrong with us in a spur of a moment, because it would overwhelm us. We couldn't handle it. We simply couldn't handle it. I've been going through counseling, especially the last couple of years after I went down with my burnout. Many things came to surface. I didn't know how to deal with those things. So I've been going through counseling. And one thing that I'm discovering, it seems like there is another layer. There is only, I feel like, okay, I'm done with it. I overcame that thing. I became new. I no longer struggle with whatever, bitterness, offense, anger, jealousy, lust, pride. I'm done with it. Only to find out in a couple weeks or couple months, under new sets of circumstances, oh, here we go. There is another layer. There is a picture here, the next one. This is what I often think about myself. Not because I am bitter and juicy, but because the layers. The layers. Change is coming one layer at a time. God, as a loving Father, gently working with us, removing one layer after another, one layer after another. He is mending what's been broken. He is restoring what was corrupted. See, oftentimes I find myself discouraged because sometimes it feels like this. One step forward, two steps back. And then, oh boy, seems like a couple years into that thing, you further than you started. And sometimes it feels like, I don't know, I feel discouraged. Like what I'm doing, by now I should have been better. By now I should have been this or that. But I want to encourage you, church, don't get discouraged. This process, it's an ongoing process. Celebrate every small victory. Learn from every setback. All of it, it's a work of God in us. You know, there is one thing that's been comforting to me, and it's the words from Philippians chapter 1, that he who's begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He has started this work, and he will not abandon you. He will continue leading you. He will continue peeling this one layer after another. Because what God is working, he is working on a masterpiece. He is not just wants to, you know, easy, quick fix. Let's just put some masking tape here, some mascara there, just some concealer here. Let's just make it look nice. No. He's not just want to make you look nice. He's doing lasting, deep transformation in your heart. In this process, our brokenness intertwines with God's goodness. And something truly beautiful comes out of it. There is a Japanese art called kintsugi. I don't know, I probably butchered the way it sounds. Artist finds a broken vase that should be thrown away. It's broken into pieces. And then it's slowly starting putting these pieces together. An artist using mixture of glue and gold to stick it together. So those scars, the place where it was broken, becomes a focal point of glory. The mess becomes a message when you invite God in the process. It becomes a testimony of God's goodness. God is working on the masterpiece in you. It's an ongoing process. Be encouraged. God is working on you. One day, this is who you are. Beautiful, restored, redeemed. Now, My fourth thought will have a little bit more of practice. So now I mentioned that the process of becoming new, it's mysterious, it's miraculous, and it's an ongoing process. But also the process of becoming new, the process of our change, is a spirit-led process. And this is where the rubber actually meets the road. In Galatians, when we read that passage from Galatians 5, Paul shares some very practical insights into how change actually happens in our life. He's talking about two forces inside of us that fight. They are in conflict one with another. There is a flesh who wants to lead us away from God, away from being like Jesus, away from God's character. He wants to lead us in our old ways. And there is a Holy Spirit who was poured in us when we received Jesus. Holy Spirit also wants to lead us toward Christ's likeness, toward being like Jesus, toward developing God's character, toward transformation. So there are two forces want to lead us. Fruit of the Spirit that we described there, you know, all of that, love and joy and peace and patience, that comes in our lives as a result of his leading. these things described, this is his character. It's interesting that Bible doesn't say fruits of the Spirit, like there are many, but it says fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, he's the one who portrays those qualities. This is who he is. He is joy. He is love. He is self-control. He is patience. He is kindness. He is goodness. This is who he is. And he wants to produce that fruit in us. He's doing that by leading us. But how? See, verses 16 and verses 18, Paul keeps on coming back, just using different words, but reiterating the same thought. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. But when you are directed, or NIV says, led by the Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit lead us? I want to share two thoughts with you on how Holy Spirit leads us toward Christ-likeness. First of all, in verse 17 here, Apostle Paul is saying this, that the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what our sinful nature desires. Holy Spirit stirs and produces his desires in us. He would place a desire, he would stir, he would give you a nudge to do something or not to do something. To say something, or maybe bite your tongue and not to say some things. Sometimes those desires would be opposite from what we would have naturally been inclined to do. And sometimes it would be surprising. I remember I had a few of those moments, like many of those moments. I remember when I just came to the Lord, there was a, like for example, I grew up in poverty. And we had lots of lack, you know, even basic things we didn't have. I remember my grandma had to take me and we were standing the whole night in a line to just to get bread in the morning because they were giving only one piece of bread per person and then it was shortage. So if you don't come in a huge line and wait, you may just not have a bread. So when you grow up like that, you develop this kind of a greedy side to you when you don't want to share what you have, when you want to store and kind of because you don't know if you're going to have enough, so you just kind of, you know, put it under the mattress, put it in your pocket. And I remember when I came to the Lord, one of the first things, I would find weird desire to share. Like, I would be prompted to give some money to a person or to share something that I had with somebody else who needed it. And I was like, it's not natural to me. It's not my desire. It's not what I would normally want to do. But as I was doing it, something was changing. Generosity would be growing in me. Sometimes I would be in a conflict or there was like tense situation and normally I would want to respond harshly. But somehow I would find this desire in my heart not to say harsh words, but rather show kindness. And even though it's like, no, kindness not due here. I need to tell this person what I think about him. But somehow I would feel this nudge, little stirring. No, you don't. Be kind. Extend mercy. Extend grace. Oftentimes it would be I would watch a movie and suddenly I would feel this stirring. It's a not right kind of movie for you. And nobody would tell me, okay, this kind of movies you can watch, this kind of movies you shouldn't watch. It would just be, I would just discover those desires. Those desires can be very quiet, barely noticeable. And $1 million question, are we going to follow those inclinations and desires that Holy Spirit produces in us? If we are talking about Holy Spirit leading us, it means that we are willing to be led. See, he won't yell at you. He won't force you. He won't override you. He would just give you this stirring. And with this stirring, he would empower you. If you choose to do what he is stirring in you, he would empower you. One time I remember I used to like music, like rock music, heavy metal, all of that. I know it's difficult to imagine, but I had a collection of tapes with all kind of you know, bands and stuff. And I remember first weeks into when I became a Christian, I would put one of these tapes, like AC/DC type thing or Metallica, and I would just feel something in me would just resist it. Like, I don't, nobody told me to do that, but I felt desire to get rid of all of that music collection. So I remember I took a big garbage bag, huge. And it cost lots of money, but I felt this is what I should do. I put all of this in this garbage bag, out in the garbage. And again, no one told me to do it. Pastor never told me, you shouldn't listen to this music. You shouldn't be watching this movie. No, none of that. It was just from inside of me. I felt leading of the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, as you yield to His leading, as you surrender to His leading, there is something miraculous happening. Something amazing is happening. You are changing. Slowly, His fruit, slowly His character started to grow inside you. And you understand, it's not mine. It's not from me. But hey, I like it. So keep on coming. Suddenly you discover that kindness is growing. Self-control is growing. Joyfulness is growing. Peace is growing. Holy Spirit is doing in us, but we need to be willing to cooperate. We need to be willing to yield. See, growth of your character, it's not about you trying harder. It's not about that. It's about you yielding to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The second way how Holy Spirit leading us, it's by asking Andrew coming and play some nice music. The second way how Holy Spirit leading us, He orchestrates circumstances in your life to help your character development. I want to read a quick quote here from Rick Warren from his book, Purpose Driven Life. Every time you forget that character is one of God's purposes for your life, you will become frustrated by your circumstances. You'll wonder, why is this happening to me? Why am I having such a difficult time? Anyone can relate? One answer is that life is supposed to be difficult. That's what enables us to grow. This next sentence is one of the most important spiritual truths you will ever learn. God develops the fruit of the Spirit in your life by allowing you to experience circumstances in which you are tempted to express the exact opposite quality. Character development always involves a choice, and temptation provides that opportunity. Temptations keep us dependent upon God. Just as the roots grow stronger when winds blow against the tree, so every time you stand up to a temptation, you become more like Jesus. When God works on your patience, guess where Holy Spirit might lead you? He might lead you into the circumstances where you need to wait and wait and wait some more. He may allow you to encounter people. I heard this people say, EGR, extra grace required, you know. People who kind of crawl under your skin and you're just like, I don't have time for that. Well, guess what Holy Spirit might lead you to? What kind of people He might surround you when He wants to grow patience in you? When He wants to grow love in you? See, loving those who are lovely doesn't take much of character strength. Holy Spirit might surround you with people that you might not find lovely, so you would learn to love. Any other areas where Holy Spirit is humility? Oh, when Holy Spirit wants to grow humility in us, He might orchestrate some circumstances that might have us eat a humble pie. I ate dozens, millions, thousands of those pies. and I need more. I need more. I want to be humble because God gives grace to be humble. So let it come, Lord. I'll eat another humble pie. You know, when Pastor Joel sang, Des will be preaching the powerful sermons, and I don't know what Anatoly will be doing there. Keep on coming. Keep bringing it. Keep on humiliating me. Yeah, thank you for helping me out. Yeah. When God wants to produce perseverance in you, do you know where perseverance comes from? Dave, you should know it. According to Romans 5, where perseverance is coming from? But where, like, what he might lead us through. You know, remember Paul said that, Trials and sufferings. Because Bible says that suffering produces perseverance. It reminds me of a potter who is making something beautiful from a slum of clay. Potter knows exactly what needs to be done, what sequence of steps needs to be taken to that raw material to make it into a useful and beautiful vase. If you asked one of those pots here, what do you think about the process? How do you liking to be thrown in the fire or to be, you know, all of that? I'm sure that pot would say, I don't like it a bit. Get me out of here. It's not comfortable. It's actually painful. All right. It's a part of the process. Loving potter, working his magic. He is creating a masterpiece. I want to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, that circumstances you find yourself in, the people that you find yourself surrounded with, the church you find yourself part of, maybe even the job you find yourself where you work, could it be that it's not just accident? Could it be that God placed you exactly where you need to be? Because he knows that you need this kind of people, you need this kind of pressure, you need this kind of heat sometimes in order to make you into what he designed you to be. Sometimes when we encounter pain from this change, our tendency want to run. Run from the church, run from the family, run from these people, run from that. Okay, I understand that. But when we run, we abort, we slow down what God is doing in our lives. I have seen so many people who just kind of got a little bit of a like fiery situation, maybe in the church, maybe there's a little bit of confrontation, maybe there's a little bit misunderstanding, and that's what's needed. This is where work is happening. Master, the potter, working on the clay. But person just couldn't take the heat. It's like, I'm out of here. Okay. God will not stop working. You'll get to the next church. Oh, guess what? Same thing you ran from, you will encounter. Because God is not done with you. You predestined to be like Jesus. You predestined to be humble like Jesus. You predestined to live in all of these character traits that Jesus portrays. To be kind and gentle and patient and loving. This is what God is working in you. And my last thought, and we will close in prayer, is that you can't fix yourself. There is one thing that John Orberg kept on telling throughout these videos, and this is something that to me was the most valuable. He kept on saying the same thing over and over again. When we think about character development, when we think about change, when we look at ourselves and we look how broken and messed up we are, and we honestly look at the mirror and see how far we are still from where we're supposed to be, we understand that I can't, but God can. And I think I'll let him. I want to leave you today with these two feelings or resolves. I want you to be in awe and be grateful to your Lord for the work that he's doing in you, for the work that he has started in you. But also I want you to have this resolve that I'm willing to let Him. I'm willing to follow His leading. I'm willing to surrender to the process. Porter, make out of me whatever you want to make. I surrender to you. I trust your love for me. Sometimes I don't understand what you're doing. Sometimes I wouldn't choose the things that are happening to me. But I trust you. If you let me to go through these circumstances, if you let me be surrounded by this type of people, I trust you that you are working for my good. You are working in me, and I surrender. Make me. Let us stand and just close in prayer. When we understand that we can't fix ourselves, I remember Dave kept on telling, when I was in the bottom of my burnout, I was trying to reach all the tools, you know, I'm a doer, I'm a fixer by nature. God is changing that, but Dave kept on telling me, Tolik, this is my short name, you can't fix yourself, so quit trying. And I couldn't understand what he means till I understood a bit later. When we truly understand that we can't fix ourselves, it leaves us in a place of dependency on God. This is the only place where we have a chance. When we truly depend on the work of the Holy Spirit in us. There are so many questions. I just want to reiterate my thought. I have more questions than answers. But I trust God. I trust the Holy Spirit. What He started, He will finish. I'll let Him. I'll let Him. I'm not like Jesus. There are so many things in me that not yet like Jesus, but I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more humble. I want to be more patient. I want to be more loving. I want to be more kind. I don't want to have room for any lust, any greed, any pride in me. So let us humbly ask God. Let us simply ask God to continue working in our hearts. With your own words, let us ask Him. You are the potter. We are clay. You found us as we are. You found us broken. Oh Lord, I remember how you found me. Hopeless case. You picked us and you started to heal us. You filled us with your Holy Spirit. You started to mend our hearts and restore the broken parts of us that were deformed and distorted by the devil, by the sin. And you have been so patient. You've been so patient with us, so gentle. But today, Lord, we're praying this prayer. Continue working on us, Holy Spirit. Make us more like Jesus. Let us be renewed. Let us be conformed in the image of Jesus. Let your character grow in us, Lord. We don't want to give room to anything of the flesh in our lives. Lord, I don't want to have any room in my life for lust, for greed, for dishonesty, for anger, for accusations, for pride. Lord, I don't want to have any of this in my life. Purify our hearts, Lord. Purify our hearts. Make our hearts clean. Let patience grow in us. Let love grow in us. Let kindness grow in us. Let forgiveness grow in us. Let gentleness grow in us. Let faithfulness grow in us. Let peace and joy grow in us. Transform us, Lord, into your liking. We give you permission. We can't, but you can. And you have our permission to work on us, Lord. If you want to receive prayer, we'll have some people here. If you just want to relate it to the sermon, or you just want prayer, somebody will be here to pray for you. God bless you, church. This process is not over. We're just starting. Process of becoming new is just starting. Enjoy some cookie. Enjoy some tea. No, don't enjoy cookies, because cookies, it will be becoming old. Enjoy some fruit. Have a banana. We don't have bananas, but work on your self-control. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. You guys have a great day. God loves you, folks. See you next week.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.